Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love, your love. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. I'll never ever have to be afraid. There's one thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love, your love. Yeah. I'm confident, covered by the power of your great love. My debt is pain. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is pain. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love, your love. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love, your love.
Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your great love. The love that you promise, you never stop loving us. Anyone that claims the name of Jesus, that's accepted Jesus, we are sure and certain we are always loved. And we just want to thank you for that. We want to thank you, God, for your love for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, talking of creative gifts, how good's Claire, eh? Yeah, just good, just good. Caleb, you didn't know you're on Bible reading, but you are.
Love the heads up. This morning's Bible reading is both Psalm 149 and Psalm 150 from the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people. To bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains. To execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Caleb. Seems a bit of a rip-off to be singing praise with drums and all these things during COVID, doesn't it? You might feel a bit cheated. We'll get there at the end where we talk a bit about that. Well, it is a time, any time's a great time to question what is the church and what is it all about. But particularly this time, during this COVID time, as we said last week, so many people and so many pastors and churches going, well, what is the church really? What are we actually doing? Because we're learning some things in this and we're being challenged. And there's things we can't do that we normally do. And so we're going, well, what actually really is the church? And if you're here last week, we noted that generally the word church is associated with two things, a building. And we said the church is not a building. And the other thing people say, church, it's what we do here for an hour on a Sunday morning. And it is part of that. We're going to talk about that this morning, the importance of that. But it's more than just 1 hour on a Sunday morning. We are the church all the time. We're always the church. We looked at that verse in 1 Corinthians where instead of the Old Testament temple, which is where the presence of God was supposed to dwell, we learnt last week that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we, in fact, are the church. God is united with us through the power of his Spirit by the death and resurrection of Christ. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're the church on Sunday, we're the church when we go home for lunch, we're the church on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every other day. We are the church. We also recognize that we are the body, if you remember that last week from 1 Corinthians as well, made up of many parts, one body. And so when we're saying we are the church, we're not just one person. We are part of the church of all people, of all Christians. But also, the Bible talks about certain churches in certain places and times. So we are the church at Swansea. And so we are part of something. So when we talk about church, we're never talking about solo Christians because there's no such thing. We're always talking about what we do together because we are the body of Christ. And at times we're on our own and we're still the church, but we're still part of the body. But particularly if we want to wrestle with what is church, we want to think about what does it mean to be together as the body of Christ. Well, we're going to start today on one which it's kind of, I guess it goes without saying in one sense because it's kind of what we do on a Sunday. But it's a really important one. That next slide, please, Samantha. And we're starting with this today, that church is a worshiping community. Now, with all of these weeks, if you take just one aspect and focus on just that one aspect, you end up with an unhealthy church. And this is what happens. Because people take one part and that's all they do. And in fact, all throughout the Middle Ages and throughout history, this idea of worship became just the Sunday morning service, a whole bunch of rituals that you did, and church was nothing more than I go to something on a Sunday and say a few words and put a bit of money in the plate, and that's church. It's much more than that. And yet, right at its heart, its core, the church is a worshiping community, giving glory to God. We've been designed to give glory to God and to do that together. Do you know that? To do it together. Well, most of my life, I've been on the worship team. And in our church, I always try and call it the worship service team because in some ways, worship has just been narrowed down to music, right? And I was on the worship team as a teenager. I had my red electric guitar, my first electric guitar. I thought I was a rock star. And I used to turn up Sunday night thinking I was all that. And I'd get my guitar out and turn my amp up too loud. And you know what? There was a couple of worship leaders there that would just encourage me, help me, and guess what? I stayed at church, and here I am today, right? Praise the Lord. And there was people that were just kind, and they would try and encourage me to have the right attitude and do the right thing, but they didn't look at this teenager that just thought he was something special and going to be a rock star and say, go home, you're not welcome. They went, no, you're part of it, Matt. Come along, come and enjoy it, be part of it, and I give thanks for those people today. They were a big part of keeping me in church as a teenager when I really didn't want to be there as well. But over time, worship has become to mean music. And in church services even, we'll say we're going to have the worship time and then we'll have the rest of the time in church. And music's become worship. Now, music's actually really important. Even if you're not a great singer, I've had two friends that are the worst singers I've ever heard. And one was a college lecturer at Morling College. I won't say his name because some of you will know him. Tone Deaf. And a lovely man. And I used to often sit next to him at the college chapel on Tuesday. And he'd be belting it out and he could not sing a note in tune. But he loved it, right? And I loved that he loved it, even though it made it hard for me to sing. I'd be kind of like... and one of my other churches, another guy as well, who's probably the worst singer I've ever heard. I won't mention his name, but he would just sing at the top of his voice. And I think sometimes people would be going, what's going on here? You know, but he just loved it, right? Singing from the heart. And do you think God was smiling on his singing? What do you reckon? I mean, God's smiling on Claire's beautiful gift, yes. We're all smiling at that. But I reckon God was smiling on that guy who was off key, but just loved to praise the Lord with his church family, right? But music has been a whole lot of joy, but a whole lot of problems. The church went through a transition and there's been church splits and fights over music. It's probably one of the big things that churches have fought and split over, and I think it must make God sad. Now, if you went from hymns, there's a few grey hairs here, and out came the Red Book. Who remembers the Red Book? This was kind of the first chorus book transitioning from hymns, right? And it had the two first Christian songs I learned on the guitar, which was This Is The Day and Rejoice In The Lord, and that was okay. And then there was the Blue Book. I haven't got that one here, but then there was the Book 3, the Yellow Book. Now, the Yellow Book was very controversial. It had all these really fast songs and, you know, me as a teenager, my electric guitar, fear not, dun, dun, dun. You know that one? For I am with you. And, oh boy, that was controversial. And then we moved into the area of Darlene and Jeff Bullock, right? And the modern worship songs. And now we're into a bit of Matt Redman. And it's transitioned all the time and it's been controversial. The interesting thing is that there actually is no Christian music. There's Christian lyrics. And you can fight over what's the best, but it's really your preference. Do you know that? And we try and be relevant to the world around us. And so we're all going to have difference. So a hymn is not better than a modern song, and a modern song's not better than a hymn. They're just different. And they're both using words to express the Bible. In fact, music can become something that it's not meant to be. It can become the only thing that worship is for people. And we sung last week that song from Matt Redman, Heart of Worship. I don't know if you know that one. And I don't know if you know about how that song started, actually, but in his church in the late 90s, Matt Redman, the pastor, Mike Pavlacci, I think I got it written down, what's his name? Get his name right. Yeah, Mike Pavlacci was the pastor. And they had this vibrant, growing church full of young people singing all this new praise music. And it was growing. It was exciting. But the pastor, Mike, just one day went, something's missing. It's just like they all come and they just love a bit of a rock concert and a bit of fun, but the heart's not in it. And so he turned up the next week and he said, that's it, we're not having a band, we're not having singers. And he actually unplugged the sound system. They had no sound system in this vibrant, growing, thriving church full of young people. And he just wanted them to get their attitude to worship right. And so they had nothing. And this went on for a fair while. And there was a bit of awkward silence the first couple of weeks. And then people would start to sing a bit of a cappella without instruments or share a thought or a prayer. He started to ask questions. Are you a consumer or a worshiper? What do you bring as your offering of praise? And then gradually could see people were thinking about what they were singing and doing and praying. And then he brought back one singer and one microphone and eventually said, we're going to have the whole band back. And that's when he wrote that song, Matt Redman, The Heart of Worship. I'll give you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you desire. It's all about Jesus. And so worship is an interesting thing. It's become all about music only. Now, music is important. The Bible is full of music. We just read some psalms that tell us, praise God with drums. And for those who don't like it loud, it said, praise him with the clashing cymbals. And so you're allowed to bang them and crash them, but not at the moment. But so yeah, Mark Davies, if you're watching, bang and crash and praise God when you're doing it. But worship is more than just music. In fact, it's more than what we just do on a Sunday if we really talk about worship at its heart. If we can have that next slide, Samantha. This is what Romans 12:1 says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So in other words there, your whole life is supposed to be an act of worship. You know that? Your entire life. So when we talk about worship, really it's more than just what we do here. It's actually your life is supposed to be a life of worship in view of God's mercy. In response to what God has done, I'm going to live my life in this body he's giving me as an act of worship. That's what worship really is. And in fact, your life is an act of worship. You're either going to worship God or you're going to worship something else. Worship is giving worth to, giving value to, placing something in importance. So if you're not worshiping God, you're going to worship something. It's going to be money or achievements or a certain relationship. Sometimes it's even good things that God has given and we do it in the wrong way, and family and sex and all these things. You're going to give value, ultimate value to something. But your proper act of worship is to give the ultimate value to God. So you're always worshiping, always giving glory to God. Whether you're drawing caricatures, singing a song, mowing lawns, your life is an act of worship, okay? Think about that when you go out in your week. Your whole life is an act of worship. But what we're doing in this series is we're thinking about what the church is, and the church is a body made up of people together. And so we're particularly thinking about the church as a worshiping community, that one of the marks of the church, one of the identity of the church, one part of it is we're a worshiping community, that together we're giving glory to God. So important. Next slide, please. One author and writer said this: "I don't think it's too strong a call to call corporate worship the single most important habit of the Christian life." It's a big statement, isn't it? Now, you might debate that and say, no, I think it's Bible reading, or I think it's prayer, or this. But he's just trying to get the heart that God has called us to worship together, to give glory to God together, to encourage one another. And he's just saying, this guy, it's just one of the most important habits you can have in life, is to, with your brothers and sisters, worship God together in a whole lot of different ways. And yet somehow it's become an optional extra for people. Somehow it's become something we do if we have time, if we can fit it in. Somehow it's only when I feel like it. All through the Old Testament, they had the Sabbath where they would be together and worship. They had festivals and feasts leading into that. We've got all sorts of poems and songs of worship in the Bible. If we can have the next slide before. Lots of the Psalms. In fact, for the Jews, the Psalms was their hymn book, basically. Here's the first verse of each of those Psalms that we just read. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Where are they singing it? In the assembly of his faithful people. Interesting. So those Psalms of praise were to be sung just by yourself? Together, right? This is what the church does, to come together and we give glory and we encourage one another. The other one, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heaven. These beautiful psalms that remind us that we praise and worship together. Next slide, please, Samantha. There are a couple into the New Testament. Acts 2, 46, 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. We're going to talk about this passage a bit longer on in our Church Is series, talking about the commitment of the early church. But do you see here that for them, they're meeting all the time, they're breaking breads, which we think is communion, they're sharing communion, they're eating together and giving thanks to God and praising God as they eat together. They're constantly looking for ways to worship God together and to affirming that together. Not just for an hour on Sunday. They're always looking for times when together we can do something, we can have Bible studies, we can pray together, we can have communion together, we can eat together and make sure we're thankful to God as we eat. They're always looking for ways, the early church, and in fact, every day they were getting together and going, we've got to get together every day and we've got to give glory to God together. Next verse, please, Samantha. Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So it's interesting, this one, is it? This is how we are to address one another. So when you see someone in the street, you don't say, hi, Ben. You say, nothing can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Or you sing, yeah, we sing a song. There you go. Sing his favourite song. If you see me in Woolies next time, I want someone to sing their favourite hymn or song to me, okay? But interesting, isn't it? Into the New Testament, what the people did together is they worshipped together. They made sure they were encouraging one another in the faith and celebrating together who God is all the time. Next verse, please, Samantha. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So when we worship together, what are we doing? We're teaching, admonishing. This is so vital. Part of what it means to be church is to be a worshiping community, worshiping in a whole lot of ways, reminding each other of the love of God. It's not just singing. Singing's important. It's really important. And I know some of you are missing this. I was chatting with Claire earlier, thinking if we can organize a little bit of house worship with those that want to come and sing some songs. So I just need to sing with some people. You might want to get involved in some of that. We can't do it here on Sunday. But worship together is also prayer. Giving. Did you know that? As we give together, and one of the direct debit thing is so helpful for churches. But one of the things we miss out, I guess, is that sense of handing around the offering plate where everyone puts it in, right? That act of worship. Because your giving is an act of worship that we do together. You're doing something together as part of that. Times of silence, Bible reading, all these things are part of worship and we should enjoy them and we should be excited. And let me just say, I still find it challenging that we can go to the football or to a concert and we can cheer and be joyful and raise our hands, and in church we stand with our hands in our pockets. I don't understand it. But that's for you and God to work out. I'll have that one a bit later, Sam. Just flick back for a minute. Do you know the Bible says the church is a worshiping community? It's so important. Here's a whole lot of things I think it does. It refocuses our minds and our emotions on God. When we worship together, it sets us back in that place. It reminds us of truth. It gives us courage to combat the lies of the world. You know, so often I have, on Monday, songs in my head from Sunday. I love it. I hope you get that. I hope even as you can't sing on Sunday here, you're thinking of the words that are being sung and in your heart, so that on Monday you get up and you think, it's your breath in my lungs. I'm going to pour out my praise today, God. It convicts us of our sin. It humbles us. It places God back on his throne. It compels us to increase our faith, to believe. It gives us power to battle temptation. It allows the Holy Spirit to speak. All these things, this is what worship together does. You can worship on your own, yes, but there's something in the Bible. The church is a worshiping community that we do this together. Sons and daughters of the King worshiping together. Well, a worship service is only one part of that. It's a really important part. A really important part, but it's only one part. We've got to find lots of other ways to do this. Lots of other ways. When I think about this idea of a worshiping community, I guess one of the challenges, well, there's a couple of challenges. Here's one of them, as I mentioned at the start, is that worship becomes the only thing a church wants to do. The whole reason we worship together and strengthen our faith is that we can go and be the church out there, right? It's not just so that you can have a good feeling. Number one, it's just to give glory to God. He deserves glory. That's the first reason why we worship together, because we just go, God deserves our praise, so he's going to get it. Amen? He deserves it. But the second reason we worship together is so that we can be the church out there. And sadly, for some people, this idea of worship has become, we come and sing some songs, and we don't want to be the church out there. So it's to strengthen us out there. So we don't want to just focus on worship together. We've got to have a mission heart, and next week we're going to talk about that. But one of the real problems is COVID. A lot of the things we normally do, we can't do, right? Some of you are sitting at home, you can't even be here. Some of you in COVID are sitting here and you're like me up the front, I just want to belt this song out with Claire and I can't. There's a whole lot of stuff we can't do. I was thinking, you know, at the football, that next slide, they had cardboard cutouts. I thought I could fill up the church with some cardboard cutouts and that might look good. And they even had a fake noise crowd, or maybe I could have some fake hallelujahs and things, you know, press a button here, yeah, you know. The button, I don't know. But some things have been taken away from us, haven't they? Music, for a lot of us, we can't sing. I think last week, Marley reminded us to sing in your heart, to make sure you're listening to the words and really thinking about what's happening and worship God in your heart. We can't all be together. We can't greet each other with a nice hug and a handshake even. Some people are doing their Bible study on Zoom like us. But what I want to say to you is just keep worshiping together. Whatever it takes to be part of it somehow, please, we've got to be a worshiping community and encourage each other and speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Find ways, be part of whatever it is you're part of to be worshiping and doing things together. Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." What's the day? The day is when Jesus returns to wrap up this world. You know, Ben alluded to it before when he was chatting about it. The day is coming. The times are coming when Jesus is going to wrap it all up. Do not stop encouraging one another. Church is a worshiping community. That last slide. Well, it is hard at the moment, I said. And I guess, what am I encouraging us to do? I'm encouraging us to think about how we engage with worship together. You know, as we start opening up different things for prayer, man, I would just love to see more people praying together in our church. We've been trying for a long time, and I'm concerned that even those that were part of it before might fall away after COVID. I hope not. I'd love to just see us praying together more. I'd love to see us encouraging one another more. I'd love to see everyone either in a home group or at least meeting with someone during the week and just encouraging someone in faith. I'd love to see us messaging, praying. I'd love to see us all of those prayer emails committed to praying for people when they come up. I'd love to see us all worshiping together in giving and having every single one of us faithful with our giving. But what I want you to do this week is something a little bit more specific during this time. Because we really want to honor this part of church. Church is a worshiping community. It's created to give glory to God, and God designed it that we would worship together to encourage one another so that we'd go out into that world and be the church. So I want you to do something this week. I want you every day to send either a Bible verse or a prayer or a song to someone in the church family. It's a challenge every day. And here's the harder rule. You're not allowed to just post it on your Facebook page. You've actually got to send it to someone. You can Facebook message them. You can text them. You can email them. You can ring them. You can write a card. However you like. And they can't be part of your home group. It's got to be someone you don't normally do it to, okay? Here's the rules. Everyone got it? I'm making it tough for you, I know. But we can't do everything we want to do at the moment to worship together. And the Bible says we've got to encourage one another with psalms and spiritual songs and prayer and Bible verses, right? We're supposed to do this. We're not supposed to just talk about the weather all the time like everyone does. It's just such a safety zone, isn't it, to talk about the weather. Let them talk about the weather. Let's us encourage one another with something more important. So your challenge this week is each day to send someone either a Bible verse, a prayer or a song and just say, hey, I just wanted to send you this today. We're going to worship together with psalms and spiritual songs and prayers and Bible verses, okay? Because this is what we do to encourage one another so that we can. Next week, we're going to talk about the church is on mission. And we're going to talk about that. But if we can't get the worship of God right, we're not going to be successful in mission. If our hearts are not right, if we're not encouraging one another in what is true and what is good and what is right, we're not going to be very good missionaries. So that's your challenge this week. While we can't do everything we can to be a worshiping community, you're going to encourage someone every day this week and just we're going to worship together by sending messages, cards, phone calls, text messages, Facebook messages, and we're going to worship together because God has designed us to be a worshiping community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just recognize that the church is people and you've created us to give glory to you. And we want to thank you for the gift of music. Thank you also for those other things that are worship together, of giving together, of praying together, of reading the Bible together, of just encouraging one another, of being together. We thank you, God, that you haven't left us alone, but you've made us a worshiping community. We pray that we would worship in spirit and truth as Jesus prayed. Jesus, you pray that we would worship in spirit and truth, and Lord, we want to do that. We pray, God, that we would be committed to a whole lot of different aspects of church life, of worshiping together, like the early church, who wanted to eat together and give thanks to God as they did it, who wanted to have communion together, who wanted to pray together and listen to the apostles' teaching. And, oh, Lord, we long to change our hearts, God, that we would just long to worship together as your people. And Lord, we pray that that would give us strength to go into the world and be the church. Not just so that we can enjoy worship together and do nothing else. We want to be the church. So God, would you give us a newfound passion for gathered worship, even in this COVID time when we can't do everything we want. Give us a passion even this week to encourage one another with psalms and spiritual songs and Bible verses and prayer. That we would strengthen each other in faith. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So Lord, will we do that this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, here we are, and we'd love to, after talking about worship, stand up and build it out. We can't do that, but we can in our hearts acknowledge and give praise to God and have our minds going home with these words in our hearts.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on the cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise him. Forevermore, for endless.
Thank you, God, for that beautiful story of love that we just sung. The Jesus who came, who died, the Jesus who rose again, the Jesus who's coming again, the God who gave his son for us. And so we do praise your name, Lord. And we would ask you help us to be a worshiping community. It's not the only thing we do, God, but it is a starting point for us that we give glory to God. We enjoy together talking about the things of God and reminding each other of Bible verses and songs and psalms and prayers. And Lord, we really do what your word says to encourage one another with these things. So Lord, give us the heart's desire to really be a worshiping community, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, everyone. God bless. And we'll see you next week.